Greetings, everyone. Just wonderful to be here. What a pleasure it is to stand up here and talk to you all, give you festival greetings. And it's also a pleasure to greet any visitors we may have. Today is our open house day. Welcome to the United Church of God Festival of Tabernacles 2002. To any visitors that we have, I asked Mr. Saloma whether or not we had the mayor in the audience or any of the delegation of local citizenry, and he didn't claim we did, but who knows? Welcome if you're here as visitors. As is open house today, I thought I'd lighten up a bit, and rather than get really down about terrorism and trouble and turmoil, as Mr. Rainer Saloma has encouraged us to do, I thought I'd talk about hot cars. Now, hot cars. I mean really hot cars. I brought my prop, just so you can envision the hot cars I'm talking about. I mean ridiculous cars, convertibles, ragtops, powerful, selfish cars. I'll put that prop right there. Cars are wonderful, and if you look around this beautiful community, you see a lovely city, a city of sand and sun, fun, food and wine. This is a resort community, and we do thank our hosts here in Kelowna for opening their doors and letting us enjoy Kelowna with them. I thought hot cars would be a fun topic because, after all, Kelowna is a magnet for hot cars. Didn't you notice? Just walk outside onto Water Street and you'll see some of the hot Corvettes that I knew would be here. I was delighted to see a whole convoy of Dodge Vipers heading down Water Street yesterday. Did anybody see that? Show of hands. Did you see those Vipers? Well, there are at least 8 or 9 of them. And so yesterday I decided I'd hop over to the Okanagan Grand and take a look at this convoy of cars that was parked in the front lot and talk to the drivers. Well, I guess this brood of Vipers was congregated there, and I wanted to let them know that today's topic was about hot cars, and I certainly invited them all to come over, but I wanted to know what was going on. Well, there's a convention, a competing convention of Dodge Viper drivers across the street. Now, you know, that's pretty heavy competition for our convention, I would say, in this world. So if there are any here attending our meeting, as it is our open house, welcome. And if there are any of the Dodge Viper convention over here, please feel welcome. Don't worry that I will be condemning wretched excess or anything of the kind. You are welcome. I brought my Bible. Road and Track. Now, it just so happens that this week's Road and Track talks about the new cars of 2003, and the Dodge Viper is right front and center. So I brought my reference material and my prop, and we're going to talk about hot cars today. Now, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, did make a few comments about cars, and he certainly was not a Dodge fan, as you're all well aware. Not to worry, Viper fans. But he did condemn an earlier generation of Vipers, and it may have been a prototype. It's probably not anything to compare. I think the quote goes something like, "Oh, evil generation of Vipers, how can you escape the demolition of hell?" Something like that. I'm trying to remember exactly quotes, but something along the line. Now, we all know that Dodge has come a long way since then, and certainly today's modern generation of Vipers are hot. They're hot. And I can attest to it. I saw them up close yesterday. Now, it's okay to have your day in the sun, you Viper drivers out there. It's okay to enjoy the fruit of your labor and the blessings that God showers upon you. But here at this convention, we are trying to inject some balance, and it is very necessary and important to keep things in perspective. So that's what we'll perhaps try to do today. Now, hot cars, they embody the epitome of man's achievement on earth, don't they? I mean, they are a metaphor, the pinnacle of human technical and creative and artistic achievement. They epitomize vanity too, don't they? They're fleeting beauty. There's rapid depreciation. All of our best efforts here under the sun are sort of reflected by these beautiful cars we see driving around. And perhaps the hot car drivers themselves understand this best of all. So any of the Viper drivers in the audience, you know what I'm talking about. There's pleasure associated, but there's also pain. Have you ever had the fantasy? Now, it's Festival of Tabernacles, and I was hearkening back to my youth. Have you ever had the fantasy that you could take your favorite biblical personality and in the millennium, when they're resurrected, show off your car to King David, for instance? Someone like that? Can you imagine how much fun that would be? Well, I always did think it would be great to take King David for a spin in a hot rod. 500 horses under the hood, smart control, smart keys, night vision, voice commands perhaps, satellite navigation now, internet communication, the whole nine yards. Perhaps it comes naturally to us human beings that we would like to show off with pride our achievements and what man can do. I mean, we're man, we are man, we are God's creation, and we can create too, and maybe it's just natural that we like to show off what we can do, and that's what hot cars are perhaps all about. Perhaps God is impressed with our cleverness? I don't know. Perhaps, I mean, as a child, if you see your daughter draw a beautiful picture of a flower, you're proud of them too. So perhaps God is impressed with our cleverness. Now, there's another interesting, intriguing question that came to mind when I was thinking about the festival. If King Solomon, for instance, were alive and reigning today, which hot car would he drive? Have you ever thought about that? Now, King Solomon, he had unlimited wisdom and unlimited wealth. This guy could probably make a good choice. You know how hard it is to buy a new car. Well, King Solomon, what would he choose? Would it be a Volvo? Someone with wisdom and wealth, what would they choose? Now, Mr. Mark Mickelson, of course, talked about cars yesterday, and he's a Camaro man, obviously. And he chose a pretty hot car, and that car kept him happy for 2 full weeks. And now, there's sort of a love-hate sort of story I heard there, and I'm sure there's a lot of psychological trauma behind that. You know, we'll have to go walk gently with Mr. Mickelson on that one. But, you know, there's something about which car you choose and your psyche and your personality, isn't there? And certainly, Mr. Mickelson's a Camaro man, we understand. What are you? Have you thought about, you know, which car matches your personality? Well, once upon a time, in a sunny land far, far away, I had the fantasy that I was King Solomon. And I worked in this wonderful place called Ambassador Auditorium, gold-plated. The wealthy of the world would come to this place for entertainment, and they would let me park their cars. So I got to be the valet park guy to the world, and I got to drive Rolls-Royce and Bentley and Ferrari and Jaguar and Porsche and Mercedes-Benz and Corvette, and you just name it. I went on, and I thought I was King Solomon, able to choose from all of the wealth and wonders of the world, and I came up with my final decision after months of working at this job that I am a Porsche man. Maybe it's my German heritage, I don't know, but I'm a Porsche man. Short stick, long throw. Oh, I'm a Porsche man. Well, if you went through this magazine, which one, this Bible, for those Viper drivers in the audience, which one would King Solomon choose? Would he choose the Viper? I mean, good choice. Pretty slick car. Would he choose the Lamborghini Murcielago? Would he choose the new Nissan Z cars or the Mercedes AMG? Would he choose the BMW Z4? It's a new hot car. Porsche Boxster's in here too. Porsche Boxster's a contender. Or maybe he would go for the top of the heap, and that is the Ferrari Enzo for a cool $1 million. A hot car, the world's most extreme sports car. Well, which one do you think King Solomon would choose if he were shopping for a hot car? Well, the answer, of course, is all of them. King Solomon would buy all of these cars, and he would still be miserable. Would he not? Do you agree? Do you know the story? Well, why did I entitle this sermonette Boxster Shorts? It wasn't a typo. It is with reference to the Porsche Boxster. I never did buy that hot car, that Porsche of mine, at least not yet. Maybe I never will. I don't know. The hottest car I drove while I was single was a Ford Pinto. I was subject to ridicule. I can see it in your faces. There's a lot of trauma there. I tried to total it in the end. The car just didn't have enough power. Now, my current car is a giant purple monster van. and it's pulling a utility trailer, and I've got enough room for my 6 children, my wife, and all of our bikes. And it's a dream vehicle, but the complete antithesis to a Porsche Boxster, is it not? Now, down deep, each one of us yearns for a hot car. Now, be honest with me, be honest with yourself. Down deep, each one of us does yearn for a hot car. My loving wife does know that I am a Porsche driver in spirit, and certainly she was taking pity on me this summer. And the reason this sermonette topic came to mind was because of the neighborhood epidemic of midlife crisis cars that kept cropping up in my neighborhood this summer. And the reason was, I'm sure, the terrorist attacks of 9/11 last year. And on a serious note, everyone took stock and decided, it was as if someone announced with a large megaphone to the neighborhood, "Attention, you only go around once." And then everyone started buying convertible sports cars. The guy to the north of us bought a Jaguar ragtop. The guy to the south of us got the new T-Bird. And finally, the icing on the cake was the neighbor across the street came home in a ragtop Porsche Boxster. My dream car. Well, my wife was really, really taking pity on me, and I wouldn't claim that I'm in a midlife crisis myself, being as young as I am, but she noticed an essay in a professional magazine that advertised that if you want to drive this Porsche Boxster, all you had to do was write an essay and explain why you need a Porsche Boxster, and you got to drive this Boxster for 2 full weeks and enjoy it. The runners-up got a pair of Boxster shorts, but that wouldn't... Now, the funny part of the responses to this essay contest were the fact that everything was related to status, envy, vanity, image, the respect you get for driving a Porsche Boxster. Every decision-making process related to the car was selfish. And so I sat down, tried to write this essay, and instead I wrote this sermonette. I couldn't find a single reason why I needed this Porsche Boxster. Now, the question I asked myself was, in the millennium, or even in 10 years, in 100 years for sure, in 1,000 years guaranteed, how important will it be that I drive a Ford van versus a Ford sports car or a Porsche Boxster? How important will it be, the car that I drive today? And so we're talking about choices and values today. My next question for you is, now, where exactly am I going with this sermonette? I mean, how are we going to tie vanity and hot cars and fun in the sun in Kelowna and midlife crisis and King Solomon's wisdom all together with this festival that the United Church of God is observing this week here in Kelowna? I mean, where's the connection? Does anyone know the connection? Well, the answer actually lies in this book, and it's a book that you find in the middle. It's a book in the middle of this larger black book, this book that we've been looking at during this festival. It's actually called the Book of the Festival. It's also been described as the Midlife Crisis Book, and it is the Book of Ecclesiastes. And it does talk about hot cars, and it was written by King Solomon. And that's your assigned reading for this Festival of Tabernacles, everyone. I can't read the whole book for you, but we will take a look at it. Let's just crack the book at the first page of the book, Ecclesiastes 1. And you'll remember this introduction of vanity. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All vanity of vanities, all is vanity, and that's where we start. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? And certainly here in Kelowna, we can ask ourselves that question in this sunny, beautiful, fun-filled place. If you skip straight over to chapter 3, Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1, there's a time for all of these fun things in life. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, you've heard this, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal. And then right there, a reference to hot cars, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep when you lose your car, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to race, and a time to refrain from racing. So hot cars, references to cars, King Solomon was clearly up on the topic, And as you read this book during this festival, you'll notice that there's more and more content about hot cars the closer you look. If you skip over to Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 15, so I commended enjoyment because a man has nothing better under the sun than to eat, drink, be merry, for this will remain with him for in his labor for the days of his life which God gives him under the sun. And then in chapter 9, verse 7, go, eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. And we certainly can do that at this festival in Kelowna, in wine country. For God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white and let your head lack no oil. A clear reference to changing your motor oil without getting dirty. Let your head lack no oil. So you can go on and on. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life. And certainly that comes after cars in the order here, but it looks of it. But which God has given you in the giving you under the sun all your days of vanity. For that is your portion in life. This is a wonderful book. Some of the message is carpe diem, seize the day, do what you can, do it with your might now while you're alive and healthy. Well, there are many answers in this small book, and I do recommend that you do read it. This book has been called the Book of the Festival, particularly by the Ashkenazic Jewish tradition. It is prescribed Feast of Tabernacles reading. And why do you suppose that is? Well, there are several reasons. The United Church of God observes those same holy days of God as observed by the Jews, as observed by Jesus Christ and his disciples. These days have included the recent high holy days, the days of awe, the Festival of Trumpets, and the Day of Atonement, a 10-day period where we concentrated on serious matters of judgment and reconciliation, a 10-day period where we were very serious and we weren't thinking about hot cars. But now is the Festival of Tabernacles, and by way of contrast, it's now our time of rejoicing, or the time of our rejoicing is what it's called, a time of happiness and thanksgiving, and this is what we're in the middle of, a harvest festival, a time of wealth and plenty, and yet also at the same time a remembrance of a time when things were harder. Now the rabbis were wise, and one of the reasons they prescribed Ecclesiastes, the book of the festival, as reading, obligate reading for this time, was just to put a damper on all the merriment. I mean, after all, people were having too much fun, and you better read a little serious reading just to keep the noise level down. And so the rabbis prescribed, during that time of rejoicing, this melancholy book of Ecclesiastes. However, there are other reasons, and certainly this festival that the United Church of God is celebrating at this point in time is a remembrance of the time when God's people wandered in the wilderness for 40 years after leaving Egypt, and they were completely dependent upon God. They had gold in their pockets and gold in their packs, but they were completely helpless without God's assistance in terms of daily food, daily water, daily shelter. In fact, the very first Festival of Tabernacles was a day of rejoicing because the protective shade of the clouds of glory that were shielding the camp of Israel had returned. The children of Israel had made a mistake. They had built this golden calf and they had been rejected. God had withdrawn those clouds of glory, and it was on the first Festival of Tabernacles when they returned and everyone could rejoice. So we are here to concentrate on those blessings, to concentrate on how temporary this life is. We're living in temporary dwellings. We have saved money proportionate to the blessings we've all received all year from God. And we're here to worship and celebrate each year at the Feast of Tabernacles, again here in 2002. And if the blessings that we've received during the year include a hot car, or if we go ahead and maybe rent a hot car, so be it. That's part of our reward in this life. That's what God intended during this festival time. So let's just wrap this sermon up by it's not a sermon yet. If I don't hurry, it will be. In the New Testament, and let's turn over to 1 Timothy 6 to conclude. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, talking about wealth, exhortation to the rich. 1 Timothy 6, 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. And this is the value statement that we want to make in our lives while we enjoy the materialism that God has given to us. We choose not to worship materialism, but we gather together, we invest our time and our money in enjoying the material blessings as prescribed by God to worship Him. And that's what we are doing here. We are tabernacling with God in a celebration. And we are tabernacling with that God that does give us all of these blessings, gives us our very life and our breath, and also gives us hot cars. So in 1,000 years, how will we get around? Well, I reckon that the hot cars of this present age are not worthy to be compared to the transportation in the millennium. I also reckon that resurrected King David or King Solomon will not be significantly impressed, since they will be spirit all-powerful beings that can travel at the speed of thought. They will not be significantly impressed by hot cars of today. And I also guarantee that there will be no black tire marks on the golden streets of the New Jerusalem in the future. So the conclusion of the matter is to enjoy life, yes, here in Kelowna. And to our neighbors and hosts here in Kelowna, yes, we enjoy it, and we exhort everyone to enjoy the moment, and we thank God for that moment, for that life that we all have as a shared gift. But we must at this time acknowledge the futility and the emptiness of this material world and our temporary fun in the sun. And we are here to look at bigger truths to live by, to set our heart not on earthly vanities, but on our Creator God. And this is the message of the book of the festival and of this festival. Enjoy.